tell you what, that's a good first hour. A really good first hour. And that'll happen, right? One, I was a part of it. And that sounds like kind of a D-bag thing to say, but you know what the fact is? I have not been giving myself enough credit lately. Number two, Mike Daniels of the Bengals was a part of it, so you knew it was going to be good. And number three, none of you were part of it. I don't think this is a coincidence. That was a really good hour. All right, so we're moving to hour number two. Just kidding. Not really. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You have your phone number. You know where to find me on social. I will get at all those things a little bit later on. But as promised, we are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter and an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ, part of Tops on CBS Sports Network. He previously worked for the Charlotte Observer and was a national NFL writer at Sports Illustrated. Jonathan Jones, back in the jungle. Jonathan, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. And listen, that was a great segment. You should pat yourself on the back. And number two, something my girlfriend and I are doing, we're talking out loud about, hey, we're thankful that we're in a great situation right now, all things considered, swirling around the world and around this country. So go ahead and speak that, manifest it out like you are.
My man, I'm glad you understand that, and I appreciate that, and I think that's a great conversation you and your lady are having. You have to put that out into the universe. We should all have more gratitude and be grateful for what we have. All right, so what we have, among other things, I think, is a Thursday night matchup. Now, the Packers had a positive test among their running backs. They're thin at running back. The 49ers, Jonathan, had a positive test among their receivers. They're really thin at that position group. Is there any doubt in your mind that this game is going to go ahead tonight?
I mean, if it were going to be postponed, it would have already happened by this point in the day. So it's going to take place, and it really is a stark difference from what we have seen or what we really saw about a month ago, where when there was one or two positive tests on a team, we all said, we don't know if that game's going to get played. And now, you know, a couple of weeks ago with the Bills, when almost their entire tight end room was wiped out, it's, well, you know, good luck in the game without a running back or a tight end or your left tackle, et cetera, et cetera. The NFL does believe that it has a better grip on contact tracing, on figuring out their high-risk close contacts. And that is not the CDC definition. That is the NFL in partnership with the CDC figuring out what a high-risk close contact actually is. And so they've been saying for the last several weeks now, some guys who are healthy, who don't have COVID-19, may very well miss the game because they are going to err on the side of caution. And that's obviously what we are seeing moving forward with the league.
You know, so I wonder, Jonathan Jones joining us, like, where do you think that leaves us? For instance, Matthew Stafford is on the COVID list. The Bears and Texans are also dealing with guys who have positive tests. Kansas City, Indianapolis have staff members with positive tests. You know, then you look around the nation and you see cases rising. I mean, ultimately, is the league going to be seriously impacted by this?
You would. It's likely to happen sooner rather than later, right? I went back and looked, you know, each week the NFL and the NFLPA release a joint statement about how many positive tests they had among players and personnel members. And they love to say, listen, we've tested, we've issued hundreds of thousands of tests. And certainly that is true. It's mostly all been to the same 7,800 to 8,000 people. And so you can test them every day. It's really, it matters when they are positive. And so each week for the past 4 weeks, the NFL has seen eight players exactly test positive for COVID-19. And that's up pretty starkly from the first couple weeks of the season where we saw about two a week. And then we got, of course, the Tennessee Titans outbreak. What has been steadily increasing as well has been the number of personnel folks who have tested positive. For a while, it was four or five. And in the last couple of weeks, it's been 11 twice and then 17 last week. And so obviously these numbers are going up around the league and they're going up around the country as well. And what sources have been telling me for weeks is, okay, we have to get through the return to school with players who are staying at home, obviously with their children. We got through that pretty unscathed. The next issue was middle of the season. Once teams are really out of the playoff race, do these players and personnel members start becoming a little more lax with abiding by the rules and keeping themselves and neighbors safe? And that's where we're at right now. 8 games into the season.
That is such a good point right there. Jonathan Jones joining us. You can watch and read and listen to him across all the CBS platforms. All right, in terms of the games themselves, after Andy Dalton was injured, Jonathan, in that Washington game, you wrote a piece for CBSSports.com that the Cowboys needed to go out and sign Josh McCown. It made sense to me. The piece read well. What was your thinking behind that piece?
Well, even before Andy Dalton got injured, he was not the answer for the Dallas Cowboys. We can go back and remember, I believe it was the Cardinals, where he looked completely lost in that game, despite having a full week of practice following the Dak Prescott injury. And then he was looking lost against the Washington football team, whose defense was good, but you really shouldn't be losing to a Kyle Allen-led Washington football team. And they were on their way to losing before that Andy Dalton injury, and then certainly after. And now, look at the position that they are in with Ben DiNucci, and he wasn't cutting it, and now they're looking at Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert, and they're going to have to decide who looks better in practice. Mike McCarthy has been talking about it's going to be a rhythm thing. It's going to be a feel thing rather than who completed more passes necessarily during practice. But I looked at it as, listen, you need a veteran presence there. You need a guy that you can more or less plug and play. You don't need to play a 23-year-old who was an undrafted free agent or maybe you picked up in the sixth round somewhere. The NFC East, at least 2 weeks ago, was still very much in the Dallas Cowboys' sights, and now it seems that there's no way that the Dallas Cowboys can win the NFC East and host a playoff game, and the division is Philadelphia's to lose. So I looked at it as, you got Josh McCown, his family's in Texas, he's been training this whole time, he's played for a dozen teams at this point, so yeah, he can be a plug-and-play guy after a week or two. And we see now, of course, with Houston picking him up, that some Texas team believed in him. It just wasn't Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
So why do you think that is? I mean, you're right. DiNucci clearly was not the answer. Now they choose between Gilbert and Cooper Rush. Why didn't they go out and bring him in?
Usually the issue with NFL teams not being able to figure out the quarterback position is hubris. That's what led to Cincinnati hanging on to Andy Dalton too long. That's what led to the Chicago Bears not really having a real quarterback competition in Chicago against Mitch Trubisky. And so that's what I believe we were seeing here, where, okay, you know, a couple months ago when they signed Andy Dalton, we all said that might be the best quarterback room in the NFL, maybe even better than New Orleans with Drew Brees and Jameis Winston. But as soon as we saw that Andy Dalton was not able to get the job done, you can't, and especially because of how competitive, if not bad, but certainly competitive, the NFC East is, you have to strengthen the most important position in all of North American sports. The Cowboys didn't do it, and I think that hubris is involved there.
Jonathan Jones is joining us for a few more moments. Jonathan, what about Pittsburgh? They're undefeated. That includes back-to-back wins over the Titans and the Ravens. And then you look at their head coach, Mike Tomlin. He's in his 14th season. He's about to have his 14th winning season. A lot of great coaches have a bad season every now and then. This guy never has. Is he underappreciated as a head coach?
I think he absolutely is, and I think that we finally, at least last year during all the Antonio Brown drama across several teams, started to really understand and appreciate what Mike Tomlin is and was as a coach. And, you know, the fact that he didn't have a losing season last year was remarkable considering what they were playing at quarterback. The fact that they are the last undefeated team in the NFL this year is also remarkable, that he has been able to adjust his offense with an aging quarterback. This is a Ben Roethlisberger who's not even getting his hands on the laces, his fingers on the laces of the football. As soon as the snap hits his hands, it's out, and he's spreading the ball around very nicely. They're apparently not missing on wide receivers. They're blitzing everyone on defense, and they're getting home, and they're turning other teams over. And they're beating really solid teams. You just mentioned consecutive wins against legitimate football teams. So I think that Mike Tomlin is absolutely a shoo-in for NFL Coach of the Year, so long as they keep this up and finish anywhere on the north side of 12-4.
Jonathan Jones joining us. All right, so in terms of great coaches maybe having a bad year, how do you think Bill Belichick is dealing with the losing of this year? And what are your thoughts as you watch the Patriots?
Well, he's not dealing with it well. I mean, all the, you know, two decades of the Patriot way, and it doesn't matter, and no excuses. All that we're hearing out of New England is excuses, and it goes back really to that Broncos game a couple of weeks ago when the Patriots had their own issues with COVID-19 protocols, and really they weren't able to practice. And look, a lot of teams have been in that situation, and several of them say, listen, we're not going to make excuses. Were we able to practice? No. Was it difficult? Sure. But, you know, we lost the game. The Patriots made sure to repeat over and over again that they were not able to practice as they wanted to. And now we continue to move forward, and Bill Belichick's talking about cap issues. And, you know, the fact is that they've been lower in cap spending, or excuse me, in cash spending than most teams in the NFL. They've missed on first and second round draft picks year in and year out over the past seven or so years. And yeah, okay, they sold out to win AFC championships, but they could have kept this thing humming if they had prepared for life after Brady. The fact is they never did. And they thought that frankly, they took Tom Brady for granted. And that's a huge reason why he is no longer in New England. He understood that and wanted to be appreciated elsewhere. And the New England Patriots, I think we are seeing now, had never really anticipated or planned for life after Brady, other than, of course, with Jimmy Garoppolo, and we all know what happened there with Robert Kraft.
Jonathan Jones, my guest. All right, not to get greedy, but one more topic on something you wrote about. You had a piece up a few days back that looked at how many teams would not draft Trevor Lawrence. You talked to 9 different executives, scouts, and agents. How many teams did they think would not draft Lawrence?
Yeah, so not many. The consensus, of course, was the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is if all teams were able to get the number one overall draft pick. It's hard to do. It's happened before. Great teams have gotten number one picks in sports before. But certainly the Chiefs. You look at Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, an Ohio kid. They're not going to do it. And then you can argue whether or not Arizona would. You know, most people said that no, of course Arizona would not. The same with Houston and Deshaun Watson because of the just under $40 million a year contract that they just gave him. But just about every other team, there was no unanimous decision that someone would not take Trevor Lawrence. And the most interesting one to me was the Seattle Seahawks. Of the 9, I believe 5 said that the Seahawks actually probably would draft Trevor Lawrence. And it's an interesting thought exercise when you consider what it takes. You look at a Baltimore Ravens, for example, and Lamar Jackson. Is Trevor Lawrence better than Lamar? It doesn't. It's not necessarily about that so much as the Ravens are going to have to pay Lamar $42 or $43 million per year starting next offseason. And would you rather use that number one pick and get Trevor Lawrence on a rookie deal for the next 4 years overpaying that position? And so it was a really neat thought exercise. We had a lot of fun with it. I'd encourage folks to go read it at CBSSports.com.
It's a great piece. Really quickly, flip it on its head. Like if he had a chance to pick the team, and of course he doesn't because it's draft. Like, say the Jets end up with that first pick. We know they'd want him. Would he want them? Like, is there even a discussion of him potentially trying to avoid New York, and does he have that kind of hammer or leverage?
I think there is a huge discussion, and I'm actually writing about that tomorrow on CBSSports.com, but I'll share some of it with you here, and that is, I think that he was starting to lay the groundwork for him using his own leverage a couple weeks ago when we heard him say, hey, I might stick around for 2021 at Clemson. Nobody knows the future, and listen, he's not sticking around. He's going to come out. I'm almost 100% certain of that, but he doesn't want to go to a bad franchise, and there's a lot that we have to figure out with the Jets. We have to figure out their new head coach. I was encouraged by Joe Douglas in his press conference the other day where he owned the mistake of not bringing back Robbie Anderson and letting him walk to Carolina on just a 2-year, $20 million deal. And finally, as we all wonder what's going to happen with the future of our country, you look at the owner of the New York Jets, Woody Johnson, who has been serving as the United States ambassador to the United Kingdom. And if the president changes, Woody Johnson would then take over control, back control from his brother of the New York Jets. And if I am Trevor Lawrence, a generational quarterback, I want to know what this owner is thinking and going to do. I want to know who this new head coach is. I want to get very familiar with this general manager. So there's going to be a lot of rumors in this draft season.
I appreciate that preview. I'll look forward to that piece when that drops tomorrow. He is a senior NFL reporter and an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. Once again, part of the Tops coverage on CBS Sports Network. You want to watch that on Sunday mornings. He is Jonathan Jones. My man, great job. Jonathan, appreciate you, and thank you so much for doing that.
Hey, appreciate it.
Good stuff. Jonathan Jones. All right, I kept him longer than I generally do, but that's because the information was so good. 1-800-636-8686. I can't be certain of this, but the candidate may be calling. Maybe. I don't want to promise it. And when I talk about the candidate, I think you know who I'm talking about. Narc Bra. So after getting a public thrashing like the one that he suffered in the run-up to the Huntington Beach City Council spot, what do you do then? Where do you go from there? I think Mike Daniels said it best. Life is about adjustments. Life will not always go the way you expect it to go. I'm pretty certain that Eric thought he was going to win one of those seats. He didn't. In fact, he didn't come close. So I'm not sure whether or not he's going to call. I've heard some rumblings that he might call. That's something to keep in mind. I want to talk also about episode 150 of the Jim Rome podcast. We're talking a lot of football here. Darius Butler did a really nice job this week. He's my guest. The NBA is already looking at when to resume or when to start up next season. And it's going to happen sooner than later. And when it does, if you're the NBA, I thought they did a great job of setting up the bubble, existing within the bubble, and giving us a very good product. But don't get it twisted. They lost a hell of a lot of money. They want to get that money back. How do you get that money back? How does any business that loses that much money recoup that money? Well, in very obvious ways. Two come to mind: gambling and hard liquor. And the NBA is no different. And the NBA is no bitter or better. That's coming up too. When we come back, let me open it up. Phone lines are open the rest of this hour. 1-800-636-8686. Who you got tonight? They're going to play that game now. To Jonathan Jones's point, if they were going to postpone it, they would have postponed it. They're playing that game tonight. So who you got? Packers, Niners, or what's left of the Niners? We're coming right back. Phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS is featuring a matchup of two elite teams battling for divisional supremacy. The Steelers take on Baltimore. Always a key matchup. Always a personal matchup. Then you've got a key AFC Eastern showdown between the Bills and the Pats. Join JB and the crew. It's an amazing crew. It's an amazing show. They'll get you set for all the action on Sunday. The NFL Today, starting at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. It is Sunday, the NFL on CBS. So I mentioned that there have been some rumbling that there might be a phone call from the candidate. And there will be, momentarily, really quickly. 1 for 3, C1 tweets. The Gold Glove Awards is a dismal TV event. Signed, the ESPYs. Jim, announcing the Gold Glove Award winners the same night as election night was one of MLB's best business decisions. Signed, Bud Selig. Choosing to have an all-star game end in a tie. TJ Steeler tweets, what's the big deal with gold gloves? It's just a piece of leather. Signed, Rob Manfred. Rome, I feel that they move forward with the idea of counter-programming against the election because the recipients of the Gold Glove Awards had collective name value. Signed, Eric Silkinson. And then the whole candy corn debate. Candy corn is one of the best candy out there. Signed, people who eat at Sizzler. Stephen PHX. Hey, Steve, bleep you. And don't you go there, dude. Don't compare people who eat candy corn to people who eat at Sizzler. Dear Jim, candy corn is the best. I love it. It's the only thing in the world that makes me look good. Signed, Circus Peanuts. Robin Detroit. And then this, Romy. I eat candy corn by the bag. Regards, Bazooka Joe Bubblegum Enthusiasts. Ashley in Nebraska, unwore depression era candy. Like, Ashley, I love the tweet or the email, but I love the topic, but I hate the tweet. Man, don't compare candy corn to Bazooka Joe gum or call it depression era candy. Candy corn is awesome. Candy corn rules. Candy corn literally is the bleep. It is so good. What's not to understand about that? I've never understood the polarization. I've never seen the other side of that. And I see the other side of most things, just not that. All right, let's go to the candidate. As many of you know, it is the year of the bra. He has promised premium content. He has delivered. I always say, give me an A or give me an F, and he gave us an F on election night. But he's here. Is he here to own it, or is he here to make excuses? I don't know. We're going to find out. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Hey, look, he didn't run last. He ran 12th, but he didn't run last. Unfortunately, only three people can win. We go to HB, Silk Bra. What's up, E?
What's up, bra? How you doing?
Good, dude. A better question is, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was going to come out and claim that this whole thing was rigged and that I was going to send lawyers over to the OC Registrar of Voters, but that's not classy, bra. So instead, you're going to be seeing Silk campaign merch on young kids in the developing world, along with Ray's World Series Championship t-shirts, brah. So look for that coming soon, brah.
I like that. I like that. So what was Tuesday night like for you?
Well, listen, I was a long shot. I started running in August for a November election. So, of course, now that I'm a politician, I'm going to spin, of course. So I most people say, and our city clerk even told me that 9,000 votes, which is what it'll probably end up, was pretty good for a first-time candidate who literally started running 3 months before the election. So it was interesting. I was nervous, but I'm not surprised. My goal was to at least get 10,000 votes, so I came up a little short of that, but I have people reaching out to me that want me to run again in 2 years when there's four seats open, and I'll probably start running again like a year out. So next November, we'll probably be talking about this again. So this might be like 3 years of premium content, Brad.
All right. So when you say that there are people reaching out to you that would like to see you run once again, quote, who are these people?
I don't want to mention exact names, but there are some people who are on a couple of the school boards. HB is weird. We have four school districts for the city. Some school board people. Six of the top eight vote getters ran together as threesome. So Tito ran with two other people, and then the two other people who won ran with one other person. So I don't really want to run with other people because they all end up with endorsements of either the GOP or the Dems and the public sector unions. I really don't want to go that route, but I might, there's a couple more grassroots guys who we might affiliate together a little bit, not run together, but Tito had posters with like the three of them on it. So there are people who are saying I'm an interesting candidate. They like my platform and they want me to run again.
Eric, making excuses is not making it better.
I don't see this as excuses, bruh. This is straight facts. Hashtag facts only, bruh.
All right, so let me play this for you. Tito, after the win, and I know you've seen this, but I want to get your reaction to it. This is what Tito had to say after he secured his spot. Listen.
That's how Huntington Beach steps up! Woo! One, baby, number one! I expect no less. Wanna why? Because Huntington Beach loves me, baby. And I've worked hard. I've lived the American dream. I want to give the American dream to every person here in Huntington Beach. Yes, sir. That's how we do. We call this winning. Winning!
Bro, what is your reaction to that?
Well, I know exactly where his post-election party was, and I was sad to see our mayor there and a former mayor there. What I would say to Tito is he needs to fire his campaign manager, because he should have told Tito to take the marbles out of his mouth before he started making speeches. I think he left all his good trash talk in the octagon, brah. Listen, that's basically what you're going to get on the city council. It's a complete lack of gravitas, brah. Even I knew that when I'm talking in front of the council to dial it back a little bit. But I'm not impressed. I did put out on Twitter a little video congratulating the three winners. And listen, Tito is on our council. So I'll support the council when it's deserved, and I'll be critical when it's deserved also, Brad.
All right, so for the record, you're going to run this back again, or you're thinking about it? Where are you at mentally?
Well, listen, I will make the official announcement, of course, on your show, Brad, as always. You know, why not announce in Huntington and worldwide at the same time, Brad? You know, I also want to thank, you know, the JTP was critical of me on the show yesterday, but they basically helped finance my run. Just from the clones alone, I probably raised about $5,000. So I am going to run it. When, you know how it is when you're married, Brad. When your wife says you're probably going to do something, you just end up doing it, Brad. So my erstwhile campaign manager, Jen Silk, says I'm running. I want to run. So, yes, it's, you know. One of the guys who won, this was his fourth time running. So, wait, look, does somebody wake Ritt up? Way
yeah,
to go,
that's
Ritt.
What I'm laughing. I'm laughing at Ritt going to the cash register. All right, so really quickly, the boss, Jen, like, what did she make of this whole thing? What was her reaction?
Well, listen, she's been pretty stressed out lately. She's already stressed because she's really concerned about COVID. And like I said, I'm back on campus. There's students in the classroom. I told you I'm getting tested twice a week. So her anxiety level's been high already. The elections got her anxious. She was bummed, but by the next day, she literally was already, we're looking at some committees. I'm going to see if I can get appointed to, like maybe the planning commission or the finance committee. The city council has to appoint you, but I'm definitely going to start getting in a little more to the city politics. So we're angling for some things. Brad, your boy Silk Brad's going to be in the community. As you know, my name recognition is higher. Dude, 9,000 votes, Brad. 9,000.
I do have some name recognition.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you do. And 9,000 votes was good. Good for 12th. Just kidding, brah. Listen, man, I said this for the record. You probably heard on the program. I'm all about it. It's everybody gets their ass kicked. Everybody has things that don't go their way unless they do nothing at all. You took your shot. You gave it your best shot. You got good experience. You learned from it. Run it back, man. You lick your wounds. You go to school on them. You come back. Jen is behind it. And although I can't throw support in with any candidate, I respect the effort. You'll come back better for it, brah. So stay safe. Stay strong. Appreciate that. That's Eric Silkinson. Came up just short, but he owned it, mostly. Mostly. What is your reaction to what you just heard? 1-800-636-8686. Danger Donnie is in. Quote, Narc Bra really is a politician. Everything he just said is a lie. 9,000 votes is a lot. Plenty of people already said they want me to run again. Lies. Bill Ratka tweets, sore loser, brah. 12th place doesn't cut it. What else? D-Rod in the 925. Quote, this is gold. Loser, brah, giving advice to the winner. Anybody else want to react? You can either tweet at me or follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Best reaction gets read on the air. That was the candidate, Silk Bra. He goes down at a defeat, and it wasn't even close. But he did say the boss is making sure that he runs it back yet again. And they're already strategizing. They're already planning. He's already trying to get on certain committees. I don't know, maybe to get more experience, maybe to implement change, maybe to get some more name reaction or recognition. Yet name recognition is great. It's great that Silk is known by people all around this great country of ours, except the only ones that matter when it comes to something like this are people in his own backyard. I don't think that there's any absentee ballots. I don't think that people out of state can vote for that. Let's see. Kevin in the Coachella Valley tweets, the people who want Silk to run are the 11 other candidates who will finish in front of him. You know, it's kind of like people will say, who are these people? People want me to run again. Who are these people? He wouldn't give that up. He said he was disappointed, however, to see the mayor at Tito's victory party. Stucknut is in. Silk should keep running until there are 15 open seats. That'd be one campaign strategy. He said there will be 4 next time. 4 is more than 3. Jeff in SoCal tweets, Silk lost to not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not nine, not 10, 11 other candidates. Are you looking for that, Rit?
Not two, not three, go. Not four,
not five, not six,
not six,
not seven,
not seven,
not eight. Well done, Jeff, for you. Not two, not three, not four, not five. He didn't lose to six, not seven. He didn't lose to eight, not nine, not 10. 11 other candidates. It's kind of like in horse racing. You always hear people in the sports say, we wouldn't run if we didn't think that we could win. That's not true. There are people who run in races knowing they can't win because you still get paid if you hit the board. Silk did not hit the board. Like in horse racing, if you win the race, you get 60% of the purse. If you come in second, you get 20% of the purse. If you come in third, you get 10% of the purse. If you come in fourth, you get 5% of the purse. And then after that, it's just incrementally. So if you come in 12th, you don't get any of the purse. It costs you a hell of a lot of money. Or in this case, the JTP, apparently. All right, when we come back, I do want to talk about the NBA and when they're going to start that back up. And how they plan on getting back all that money they lost. Because when the NBA does start back up, it would stand to reason that it's going to be without fans once again. You're losing a lot of money there. How do you get that money back? Apparently, Adam Silver's got himself a plan. We'll hit on that. Dana White, I didn't mention this yet. Do you watch his Contender series? There were some violent knockouts. Like, these are guys that you don't know, but it doesn't mean that guys aren't getting their faces broken. Because they are. Hey, Rome. Silkinson calling Tito classless as he teaches our future adults in Vans and board shorts is ridiculous. Signed, Aaron in Iowa. Yeah, but give him this, Aaron. You know who he is. He's got great name recognition. Now, granted, that Iowa electoral vote's not helping Silk in Huntington Beach, but people know who he is. Here's an ATP from Drew in West LA. Does Rit have eyebrows? Hey, Drew, it's Thursday. We don't do the ATP on Thursdays. Why don't you ask me about that albino tomorrow? Just kidding, Rit. Take the tie off, man. Fit in, bro. Get some eyebrows, lose the tie. All right, when we come back. Just having some fun with you, Rit. You know this. Rit's amazing. Rit's looking at me like, yeah, is that all you got, old man? I don't have eyebrows. I'm an albino. I have a tie. Is that all you got? That's all I got. Do you have a guest for the podcast next week? Rit goes, yeah. Yeah, I do. The only reason you do, Rit, is because that guy's locked in every single year at this time. Elk for the Masters. All right, I have run really heavy.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
For all the ones who get it done, there is Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facility safe. And your people even safer. Click Grainger.com/safety or just stop by. I think this guy is my favorite Twitter handle right now. At Lanier Messenger. I love that. I'm not saying he's good at Twitter because he's not. He's not even good at the show. But that is my favorite Twitter handle. Because that's the first job I had in the real world. Not really. I mean, my first job in the real world was working at In-N-Out Burger when I was 16. Man, that was real. That struggle was real. But my other first real job was trying to sling dictation equipment for Harris Lanier, quote, Fortune 109. And the Messenger was the product that I was trying to sell and extremely unsuccessfully. At Lanier Messenger tweets, is it me or does Rit look like Charlie Brown on crack? Oh, it's not you. personal appearance is not show fodder unless it relates to Ritt, because we've never had anybody who looks like Ritt walk
Bring it
through the
on.
Door. Game on, Ritt.
Game on.
You look like Chuck Brown on crack.
Boom.
Charlie Brown on crack. A dude with a gigantic dome and no hair, like he's cracked out of his mind. I'll allow that. At Harris or at Lanier Messenger. 1-800-660. Ritt, there's no manual buzzer for that. That was a good take that guy had. All right, let's go to the phones. I've got a short segment, so you've got an opportunity here. I've got Chase Elliott coming up at the top of the hour. He is the driver of the number 9 Chevy for Henrik Motorsports. Let's go to L.A. He is Matt, and he's in L.A., and he's back. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Romulus James, hey, from the City of Championship, greeting. So I honestly just wanted to come in here and hype you up, pimp, because you don't get hyped up enough. That interview with Mike D, Mike Daniels earlier, has got me shot out of a cannon, man. I mean, I'm ready to go and run through a brick wall. I'm ready to take my shirt off like that dude from Notre Dame. So I really honestly just want to thank you for stuff like that, man. Like, that gets us through our days. You peel back the onion on these athletes. That is, you know, everything, man. Like, it was just really, really informative and entertaining, pimp. And I got to give you the nod. And really, that's all that I called for.
I appreciate that, Matt. Thank you very much. Sincerely. Truly. You know, the thing is, I would love to take credit for Mike Daniels and that conversation and the fact that I peeled back the onion and I did something that nobody else can do. But none of that would be accurate. I didn't do jack, man. I didn't do jack other than put out the request for Mike Daniels, and luckily he said yes. Because a guy like that is inherently so interesting and so easy to talk to. He is the very epitome of, we're not looking to do interviews here, we're looking to have conversations. And that used to make so much more sense back in the day. And when I would say that, people would be like, yeah, that's it. And then when podcasts exploded, podcasts are all conversations. So that's not that big of a thing anymore. But on this show, when people are so pre-programmed in what to and what not to say, you don't get very many conversations. You get a lot of interviews, and some of them are even good interviews, but you don't get too many conversations. Mike Daniels was a conversation. Like, you kind of forget where you are. You forget that I'm the guy behind the mic who's on TV, who's asking you questions, and you're the guy who's sitting back and answering questions. No, Mike Daniels just is. He just is. And he was just doing his thing. And he's got a lot of it, and he's got a lot of charisma, and he's got a lot of great energy, and he's got a great point of view. Guys like that are hard to find. So I appreciate you saying that, Matt. I would love to take credit for it, but I really didn't do jack. That guy makes my job very, very easy. Hawk, why are you suggesting that I go to line 3? I don't care. Why would I do that? Okay, then. That's the answer I'm looking for. 1-800. When I do that, when I'm talking to Hawk and you can't hear Hawk, that's by design. That's not like a technical glitch. That's me communicating with my EP. And I can actually do that during the show. And when we're short-staffed and we're missing somebody, I need to do that even more. When Hawk is back there in the second row as opposed to the front row, I need to know what's going on. In short, when Hawk is telling me to go to Parody Larry, I need to know why the hell I would do that. That's what that conversation was about. He's holding up 3. Like Hawk is the catcher, and I'm the horse, right? I'm the ace. I'm Sandy Koufax. And he's putting down 3 fingers. I'm like, I'm shaking him off. No.
Dude, no.
And he's putting
down
3 fingers. He's going, no. So then Hawk comes out to the mound to have a conversation with me, and I look at him like, dude, what the hell are you doing, man? Why are you putting down 3 fingers? Why? You know, because get your ass back behind the plate and never put down 3 fingers ever again. Yeah, I got it. So we're talking through our gloves. Hawk goes back to the plate. He gets in his crouched position. And what's he do? First thing he does, he puts down 3 fingers. You know, like, Parody Larry, up and in. I'm not taking that call, Hawk. Why are you putting down 3 fingers? So when you hear me talking to Hawk and you hear me getting more and more frustrated, but you don't hear his voice, you don't see him on camera, that's what that is.
He's calling for pitches that I would never, ever throw under any circumstance at all. So we'll talk to him. He's looking into the dugout like the manager is giving him that. There isn't a manager anywhere, Hawk, one who cheats or doesn't, that would call for that pitch. Not doing it. Not doing it. What I am doing, though, is having a conversation with the driver of the number 9, Chase Elliott. That's coming up at the top of the hour. What I still want to get into is the NBA. Like, it's November 5th, and yet we're already talking about the start of the NBA season. Literally. NBA season. The NBA season just ended, but we're already talking about the start of the NBA season. And notice what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that we're going to talk about the start of the NBA season at the start of the year. They're talking about starting the NBA season before the end of this year, when it ended like 5 minutes ago. Why would you do that? Because the calendar is jacked up, and so is their bank account, and they need to recoup some of that lost money. So how do you do that? Gambling, liquor, two of your favorite things, clones. Have I got your attention? I thought so. You may not be familiar with Dana White's Contender Series. It's interesting, and I'll tell you why that is. When we come back, by the way, rack Matt in LA, because he did the one thing that I have not been doing enough of, giving myself credit. Make sure Matt gets racked. All right, we're coming right back, and when we do, Chase Elliott will be joining us. Hour number 3, straight ahead. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. We are live in Southern California, and you can get through if you call right now. Do it.